welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. And we're going to be chatting about one of my favorite subjects. It's such a big part of my life for so many years, and that is dance. But before we do, I'm going to tell you a little story about when I was little and my mom signed me up for ballet. I was about 4 years old. I went out with her, got the little leotard and the tights and the little ballet slippers and the pink tutu. And I think there were about 8 classes that we signed up for. But right after the first class, I scooted my little tutu bum up into the seat of the car and I declared I would never go back, that I hated ballet. And I think for this free-spirited little child that I was, there was just too much structure and rules. And really, I just wanted to be in my living room, right? With the music turned up and just free to dance and move. Now, fast forward many years, I ended up going to a high school of the arts and majoring in dance. And guess what? I still hated ballet. I loved jazz and hip hop and contemporary, just not ballet. And I think my own life story makes me think that it's very natural to want to move our bodies to the music. And sometimes the structure or the expectation gets in the way. And today we're going to talk about our bodies and dance and how it can help heal the past and also open up new levels of joy. So whether you have ever danced or not, you are going to love what my guest has to share today, because it's really time that we reclaim our bodies and the way we move and start feeling empowered and free. And my guest says, we're all going to go through times of wanting to change our bodies. That's natural. But to really do the work of embracing who we are, even as we want to shift and change things, is really what gives us power. You know, we're all about being in our bodies as they are and appreciating them as they are, because our bodies do amazing things for us every single day. This week, I had dance and transformation expert Christine Garvin on the show. Christine is a graduate of UNC Chapel Hill, and she has a master's in holistic health education. And she truly believes, which you'll hear in this interview, with all of her heart, that everyone can dance. Yes, even you that feel like you can't, you can dance too. And everybody should be able to enjoy the feeling of moving their body in simple, complex, small, ecstatic, and even gigantic ways. She particularly believes that it's important for women to connect to their bodies through movement, as every single Western woman she has met has been taught in some way that her body is wrong. She's passionate about helping women heal the disconnection and learn to love their bodies. On today's episode, Christine shares about the intersection of dance and holistic health, steps to start accepting and honoring our bodies, and how to create more joy and love. So with no further ado, dance extraordinaire, Christine Garvin. Hey, Christine, so happy to have you on the show today.
Hey, Shauna, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we were just talking before we came on live that we were both dancers and all the world of dance and all of that good stuff. And I haven't even talked that much on the show or really at all, I think, about moving our body. And so this is just going to be a fantastic topic. And I'd love for you to share how you came to doing the work that you're doing today.
Whew, it's definitely been a long journey. I will say that, you know, dance has definitely been a part of my life since, I think my mom said I was about 3 or 4, and she took me shopping and she was trying on clothes, you know, in the dressing room. And I was standing outside of it where there was a mirror, and she was in the dressing room. And then she came out and she noticed there was a crowd of women kind of around me watching me, cause I was dancing in front of the mirror in the dressing room. And that's when she knew. She's like, okay, I'll put her in, you know, some dance lessons. And so it really was that thing that was just part of my spirit coming in, you know. And I really do believe dance is everyone's birthright. But, you know, as you and I sort of talked about before the show started, you know, in some of us, it just kind of takes over at a very young age and wants to express itself. So I danced really, you know, in classes and everything, tap, ballet, and jazz until I was about 10. And then my ballet teacher told my mom that I was too big to get in point shoes, or to get on point. And that was when, you know, things shifted and I didn't realize then what had happened. My mom told me about it later, but my mom kind of pulled me out of dance and, that felt okay to me because I didn't really kind of like the world that it was, you know, becoming for me, but I always continued to dance on my own. So I tell people all the time, now because, you know, I perform quite a bit and people are like, oh, you know, this is so easy for you because you've been doing it your whole life. And I say to them, I literally spent my entire teenage years just dancing in front of the mirror. You know, in my bedroom, like that was, how I expressed myself. And what I realized later too, was that was actually a very important survival technique for my teens. And I really think that that's what dance can be for people. You know, I mean, we're talking now about dance therapy and those kinds of things, is much more out there in the world. But back then nobody was talking about that being a therapeutic tool. And so I did it therapeutically without even realizing it. And, you know, with the ups and downs of teenage years, like I don't actually know what I would have done without that dance in front of my mirror, in front of my bedroom. And so it's pretty amazing how many other women did that too, you know, because I really do think it is so much a part of who we are, and our expression and moving our feelings and emotions through our body and out so that we can keep on going on with our life.
That's really powerful. Like moving that energy out of your body. And we'll talk more about that. But I think about, like you said, the teenage years in the 20s, right? Being mm-hmm. so difficult and being able to literally off that energy out of your system. Like think of the things that people turn to try to like stuff that energy or not feel that energy. What a gift.
It really is, you know, and I think that more of that is starting to be understood now, even, you know, with teaching kids. And, I, for several years now, I've taught in, several low income after school programs here in Asheville, North Carolina, and, to give that gift to those kids who don't even, you know, realize a lot of the emotional impacts of everything that they're going through right now because they're so young, you know? And I mean, it's crazy because they'll have been in school all day and then come to this class and they're insane, you know? But sometimes I take up that insanity a little bit with just like jumping it out and dancing it out and how they get to process the lives that they lead. I think is so helpful. And also in teaching them that, you know, art is a viable path, which I don't think has been such a message, you know, or it had to be this very traditional way, especially with dance. It's like you would train, you know, you would end up like your big goal was Broadway or what have you. And now it's like, oh, there's all of these other opportunities and you can create a life from your art and from your dance and from this very, you know, therapeutic tool that saved you. So I love that aspect too.
Congratulations on doing that with kids. That is phenomenal. I love that. And I love that message that you're sharing with them.
Yeah, it was definitely something I kind of fell into. You know, I never actually planned on teaching dance. I worked in my 20s, I worked in nonprofit social justice work, actually in San Francisco Bay Area. And then, you know, I started dancing in troops and everything while I was out there. I did some hip hop and then I did a dance form, an Indian dance form called Bhangra. And when I moved to Asheville, you know, I kept dancing, but it had always just been this thing that I did, you know, as my outlet and then performing, but for fun. It wasn't my way of life or the way that I was, you know, living. And one day I just got to this point where I was doing a few different things, some freelance writing and working with some of the health stuff that I do now too. But I just was like, you know, I really am ready to do this on a different level. And I started teaching adults at that point. And that was when I first taught a class I called Jazzy Showgirl. And what's fun about that class in particular is it really is about getting into your sensual body, but it's not quite as far along, I would say, those lines as burlesque. So women that aren't quite ready to fully go on into burlesque, but they want to be able to really sort of tap into a different side of themselves. And so I started teaching that first, and then that kind of spiraled into teaching hip hop and all these different forms, because I love doing all the different forms, and then ended up teaching kids too. So obviously I don't teach them the Jazzy Showgirl, but all the other dance forms, it's really fun to work with them. And so that just opened up my life in a completely different way.
That's so beautiful. And what do you see as far as, like, you know, I mean, I came from the dance world, and I know there's, you know, a lot of body image conversations in that world. Certainly there's body image conversations for women everywhere, right? In all, on all different levels, but certainly it has lended itself to dance. And what do you see as far as adults that you teach and what they understand to be true about themselves and dance and their body and all of that? Are you seeing different themes?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, probably 95% of the women that come through the door had an experience with dance that was negative when they were younger because of, you know, being told that their body didn't fit the dance style or that they didn't move in a way that pertained to them being able to go on this path. And of course, I mean, so thinking about the sort of, you know, preteen years and teenage years and all the changes that our bodies go through anyway, and then being told that your body doesn't fit this mold, it's really intense for a lot of the women. And so most of them are very nervous when they first come through the door. You know, I try and really in my marketing and also when I meet women to let them know, you know, we're here to really embrace our bodies as they are right now. You know, of course, like, we're all going to go through times, sometimes more, sometimes less, of wanting to change our bodies. That's natural. But to really do the work of embracing who we are, even as we want to shift and change things, you know, that is what gives us really our power in so many ways. And so I try and get that message across, you know, really upfront, that we are all about being in our bodies as they are and appreciating them as they are, because our bodies do amazing things for us every single day, you know, and we don't really appreciate that a lot of times until something goes wrong. And so getting them in there and really starting to, I think, almost attached to their bodies in a different way, because there's so much negative attachment that's happening. You know, it's impossible to live in our culture and really be happy with your body 100% as a woman. And, you know, you're starting to see cracks in that. And that's really what I'm promoting, is let's take down this old paradigm of what a dancer's body should look like. And what a dancer's body should look like is whatever your body is. And the way that you feel good expressing it is going to be what inspires other people too. And, you know, one of the things that I've done since I've been here is started doing events and shows where my students can perform. And that's such an amazing gift, because we have a super supportive community. And to see these women get on stage and, you know, after they've practiced 8, 10, 12 weeks on this routine, and to see them get on stage and shine, and for the community to, like, give them that, you know, amazing applause and feedback, is just, it really is life changing. And you don't realize that until, you know, you get in the door and you go through that process.
Ooh, I love that. That's so cool. I was just thinking about doing, I was like, I would want to do that. That's so cool.
It really is fun.
It is. That's so great. And it's like, you know, there's nothing like rehearsing for something and practicing and getting it right and going through that whole process. And then the process of, like, you know, being up on stage and sharing and giving your energy and then receiving from that. It's so beautiful. And especially in this, this space that you create, right? That's very, like, accepting and loving of self. I just imagine that it must be like a big celebration.
It really is. And, you know, beyond that too, is I think the community aspect that you build with all of these other women, you know, that's, I feel like, just as important, because you get in there, you start to feel better in your body because you're allowed to, you know, kind of express yourself as you are, but then you're also being supported by a group of women around you who are going through that same process and also lifting you up. And so that's just as important, you know, of a component. And I think what you just said, like, I mean, we do it obviously for the feeling that you get when you're on stage, but you get so much from the process of those 8, 10, 12 weeks. You know, it's a journey just like any other big life-changing thing that you take on. And I love watching people traverse that, you know, the ups and downs of that, and then build themselves up in a different way that they can take out into the rest of their life. Because that's really, you know, the sort of ultimate goal, like to not just keep it in the classroom or keep it on stage that day, but you can do it. You can put that in any other part of your life that you want to, you know, take up to the next level.
So like building confidence, building, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things, like moving in your body more freely. Is that what you mm-hmm. mean? Like bringing those into other areas of your life?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely, obviously just walking through the world in a different way. But I also think when you start to learn about your process and your ups and downs and the things, the walls that you hit against and how to sort of get up over or around those walls, you know, you can understand how those show up in other parts of your life, whether that is, you know, in your relationship or whether that's in your work or whether that's in your spiritual practice. I mean, the way that we are in one area of our life is really the way we are in all areas of our life, you know, speaking from my holistic standpoint. And so I think it's really cool when people start to recognize that and be like, oh, okay, this is how I worked with this thing that I came up against, or, you know, this self-esteem issue that came up, and how I came out on the other side of it. So I can apply that to these other parts of my life that I want to grow and enrich. That makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. That's so incredible. And you have a program called Sensual Magic. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So really, it came about from all of this work that I've been doing in the dance world, you know, here for the last few years, because I'm actually 39 now. And I guess I started teaching dance when I was 32, which is kind of, you know, late in the game to teach dance anyway. But I really started to notice this idea that, you know, once you hit 35, you kind of had to pull back in certain areas in terms of performing. Like certain people wouldn't want to book you anymore. And, you know, different things were happening to your body and you wanted to hide those, or different costumes. And I think I've always kind of gone against what society has wanted from me. So I
that
literally
makes you awesome, by the way.
You know, so I think there's so much put on women in their late teens and early 20s of being, this is the time of their life where they're supposed to be the most sexual and sensual and be out in the world in that way, but yet don't overdo it, you know, don't be promiscuous. So it's this very like small defined thing of what they're supposed to be. And then, you know, getting into your mid-20s and your late-20s, you're kind of supposed to start winding that craziness down, that being out in the world in that way, and start to think about settling down and getting into a long-term relationship. And then into your 30s, you know, really thinking about children and that kind of thing. And then, because you got to get all that done by the time you're 35, because that's when, you know, your ability to have babies changes dramatically. So this is a storyline, right? And I didn't buy it in my 20s. It wasn't my thing to do in my 20s. And then really, as I started to hit my mid-30s and saw this happening around me, I was like, no, this isn't right. You know, I mean, just as basic as the fact that statistic that it takes, I guess it's something like 1 in 3 women, you know, if they don't get pregnant within a year over 35, that they won't get pregnant at all. This is kind of a statistic that has been around for a while. It's just come out recently that was based on a French study from, I believe it was 1680 to 1830. And
that's a while ago.
Yeah. You start digging in and you're like, okay, first of all, it's insane how little our, you know, our system, our scientific system has studied women's reproduction and what we base all these beliefs on. It's insane. And so first of all, you know, seeing things like that and being like, this isn't truth, you know, and it's actually, I think, been used to hold women back. Because getting to 35 and getting over 35, you start to realize it's actually the opposite. It's when you start to really feel your power in a different way. Because, you know, at that point, I think most women have really started to understand themselves because of everything they went through in their late teens and 20s and early 30s. And they really start to ground into themselves in a different way than they have had a chance to before, you know, whether you're married with kids or whether you're single or any of those things. And, you know, just because you have children doesn't mean that you can't be that sensual embodied self and embody that power that's inside of you. And I really personally started to feel that more after 35 and every year since. And I was lucky enough to be around women in their early 40s, mid 40s, into their 50s that were powerhouses like you wouldn't believe, you know? And I'm like, huh, this, what they've been saying about women at this age is not true at all. And, you know, I think we're starting to see it in our media a little bit more and in our society a little bit more that women sort of aren't stepping back. They're stepping out more in those, that age range. But I really, this sensual magic kind of poured out of me from that stance of, no, this is our time to really feel ourselves in the world in a different kind of way. We just need some tools to really, you know, understand ourselves and be able to access that power. And we're the ones really kind of changing the world and the trajectory of what, where things have been and where we're heading.
Oh, I love that. It's so fantastic and it's so true. And thank you for, you know what I mean, your contribution to that, because I feel like it's a time where anybody that's got a voice for it and has that as their truth needs to sing it from the mountaintops, right? And by doing what you're doing, it's giving other women the freedom, right? And I really think that that's how change happens, right? Is through us passing on the word and being able to, you know, integrate a new way of being through, you know, various different practices that feel, you know, everybody has their own like tool chest of things that feel like, ooh, I really feel like I'm supposed to do this or try this. And that's literally how we awaken little by little, more and more over time. And so I love that you created that. And it's kind of you pulling from your life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that you said toolbox, because I believe that all of us should have a toolbox that, you know, we add new tools all the time that we experience to them. But knowing that, you know, every one of us hits a wall at some point, you know, I mean, some point and points and points and points again, like it's just the way that life goes, and to have a toolbox to go back to be like, okay, this is something I can use to work through this thing that I've hit up against, you know? And I think transformation is really about a deep acceptance of who we are and knowing that we can work with all of the different things that come up for us. And within working with those things, we can experience the life that we really want to be leading instead of getting stuck again and again.
I love that. What would you say to a woman who, you know, maybe has never danced in her life or never felt comfortable, you know, and never even like really considered it, but all of a sudden she comes across your work and thinks, but I don't know. I can't, you know, that's not for me. I can't do that. I mean, if you could speak directly to the heart of that woman, what would you say to her?
Well, just like I danced, you know, in front of the mirror for many years in my bedroom during my teenage years, that's what I tell people that don't feel comfortable with going to a dance class. I say, you know, take some time to put on one of your favorite songs. That could be like your jam that, you know, you're like hardcore dancing it out, or something more sexy or sensual. And, you know, get in front of, if you have a full length mirror, that's, I think, the best. But even if you go to in front of your bathroom mirror, whatever you need to do, and just start moving to the music, you know. And I know that some women struggle a little bit with the mirror aspect. They don't really want to look at themselves, you know, and I tell people, you don't have to look at yourself the entire time, but I do think that connection that you start to make with yourself by looking at the mirror, in the mirror, by watching yourself when you're dancing, is incredible. And it's really what leads to some deep healing when you have a disconnection with your body. You know, I think almost all, every woman I know has a particular body part that they don't like. And, you know, we have to befriend that body part in order to move into the higher aspects of ourselves. And to really spend some time in the mirror, looking at that, feeling it, caressing yourself, you know, putting on some candles, just enjoying yourself and doing the best to kind of look through as if you were looking through a loved one's eyes onto your body instead of your own. And I think when people can do that, it shifts the way that they see themselves. It shifts the way that they move in their bodies. And so just that simple practice, you know, one of the things I had put a video on Instagram a few months ago of me just dancing first thing in the morning, which is what I tend to do almost every morning. And it was pretty amazing how many people were like, oh my God, I do the same thing. Or, oh my God, I need to start doing that, you know, because I really do think it is this incredible healing tool that literally you can do for 2 or 3 minutes in the morning, and it's going to change your day.
Oh, I agree 100%. I love it so much. Can you share where people can find out more about you and the work that you do and the different programs you have?
Yeah, sure. So my website is christinegarvin.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-G-A-R-V-I-N. And it's got, if you go there, you can learn all about the Sensual Magic Program. And we're doing a, I had been just doing it in Asheville, but we're actually doing an online version of it that's going to happen this fall. So you can learn more about that there. And then I also do work with clients doing what I call whole health coaching. And that's really a holistic approach to making your health thrive, because I think so many people are, you know, in the surviving mode right now. And at our base, our soul wants us to live a life that is full and where we get to access our dreams and really see them through. And so I work with people to, if they don't know what that is, they can, you know, help them figure it out. Or if they just need some tools to get there, I work with them on that level. So, you know, bringing in nutrition and movement and energy work like EFT is a huge useful tool. So you can learn more about that on my website too.
Fantastic. Yes. The more tools in the tool belt, the better off, right?
For sure.
You can never get enough tools in that tool belt. So I highly recommend that. wonderful. So I always ask my guests 4 questions that are based on my proprietary process called the Anatomy of Transformation. Okay. And the first pillar of that is called truth. And I believe that when we get to deep truths, either within ourselves or we discover deep truths, you know, in the world, in the universe, mm-hmm. It's very powerful and it creates this opening. So what is a deep truth that you've discovered along your path?
I think that self-worth is at the core of almost every person's issues, because there's no way to really kind of get out unscathed from just being human and the messages that are, you know, given to us as children and, you know, by our families, by our culture and all that kind of thing. And so to start to recognize your own self-worth and whatever you need to do to see yourself for who you really are instead of the messages that have come at you. That's what changes everything, you know, and to keep coming back to that again and again and again.
That's so powerful. And the second pillar is release. And it kind of goes along whenever we discover a deep truth. There's usually something, if not many things, that we need to release. And that can be people, experiences, limiting beliefs, you know, things that we believe about life. What is it that when you discovered this kind of core self-worth thing released for you, or that you had to release?
Whew, there's been so many things, right? I think as you keep going on this journey, you just release more and more things, you know? And I think that, I mean, there's definitely been people that I've had to release, and you really recognize how, that process is heart-wrenching and beautiful all at the same time, because of course it's hard to let go, but then you have so many amazing people come into your life from letting go of those that, you know, where you're done, or your journey with them is done. But really releasing those self-limiting beliefs, I think is the biggest thing, you know, and also an acceptance of, okay, I may hit this thing again, but now I know how to work with it in a different way. I see it for what it is, rather than it being the truth of who I am. It is this thing that is just, you know, something I have to work with, and that I know my real value and truth at this point. So yeah, releasing so many different things.
Yeah, that's powerful. And it's really true. It's like, it's always scary to release, because we don't know what's on the other side, but you do. And then new arrives, you know, new people and new experiences. And so it's trusting that process. It requires a lot of faith and trust in just kind of stepping forward. I think that's super beautiful. Then the third pillar is called experience. And what happens after release is, like, I call it a clearing. You know, it's almost like a clear slate, and it can feel very scary to kind of clear your slate and release a lot of stuff and not know what's next, you know, what you're going to replace it with. Yes. The third pillar is really, I mean, really scary. Let's be real, but experience is really about being able to experience life in a new way. And that's what comes available when you have the courage to release what no longer is serving your life. And so when you release these things, what became possible for you in your experience?
So interesting, because as you were talking, I was just thinking about how that feeling of when you're in the space of, okay, what is next? You know, I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm going through this process of releasing things, and I just don't know what's going to happen next. And then all of a sudden, it's just this completely different feeling and energy, I guess, that comes in. And all of a sudden, it's like you're looking at life through completely different eyes. And you're able to really tap into the flow that you've been looking for. And just start to trust, I think, in a different way, you know, trust that the things that come in front of you, that the universe has brought you, and you're going to follow that path and then see what's around the corner from there. And just like the gorgeousness of that feeling, right? That expansiveness is just incredible.
Yeah, it's the perfect way to describe it. It's so expansive, and that's beautiful. And the fourth pillar is called align. And this is really like what's actually happening is we're changing our frequency through this process, right? So this new experience is happening at a different energetic level, literally. And we're experiencing life and seeing life in new ways, right? It's like going from like the bottom floor of a building to like the 10th floor of the building. Mm-hmm. And you're looking out the window and it looks different. And an alignment is really, to me, like the glue that holds us there, right? So it can be spirit or community or the things that we surround ourselves with, the new things that come into our life to hold us in this new alignment. So what is that for you?
Well, I definitely think, you know, if you want to call it mindset, training, or what, but really being clear around the community that you have around you, that you continue to lift each other up. And you really notice the way that you speak and the, you know, any kind of judgments that come up, and recognize that they're not part of you're the new path that you're on or the new place that you're on, in your life. And then, you know, listening, I mean, we're so lucky really in so many ways now because of the internet that we can access things that keep us aligned all the time. You know, we can really choose, okay, I'm not going to pay attention to this stuff over here because that's just going to kind of pull me out of alignment. And I'm going to seek out, you know, things like this show, you know, this podcast, and so many other good podcasts that are out there and so many great videos that can really keep you in alignment with, you know, the place that you've gotten to and then continue taking you forward. And I just having that on a daily basis is so important because I think, you know, we can get knocked off quickly if we don't stay in that place.
Yeah, beautifully put. It's so true. It's like what we fill our time with, right? Mm-hmm. And our minds with and our hearts with is so mm-hmm. important on a consistent basis. And so mm-hmm. you have filled our minds and our hearts with such incredible information. And on a personal level, since I grew up as a dancer, it's just been so fun to dream and connect. And you might have inspired me to go out there and take a class. It's been quite a long time for me, I wish I was closer to you, but this is an important conversation and a beautiful one. And thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and to share your heart and to share your life experience, because this is truly, what inspires people and wakes people up and has people go, I used to dance and maybe I need to dance again. And so thank you for having that impact and, being with us here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it and the work that you're doing. I love, you know, I've listened to a bunch of your recent guests and it's awesome what you're doing.
Aw, thank you so much. I super appreciate you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. So our Take Action item this week, I bet you guessed it, is to go take a dance class. Seriously, just go. It is the most fun thing ever. Even if you've got a story going that you don't dance, everyone dances and it's a beautiful thing. And I'll be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings, sending you love and wishing you a great week ahead.